Do you think that there is a reason why God brings Melchizedek into view first? Let's get some thoughts, young people.
Before that, I had a comment here. And about the souls, we look around and we see people in our lives, and we just see the people and we interact with them and we associate with them in school and at work. And we often miss the point that they all have souls and they need to be saved, many of them. And a lot of times we just miss out on opportunities that we could witness to them and be an example. And I was just thinking that we should concentrate on that more in our lives.
Well, I want to say something on it too. Tony's right, because I don't think they met him at the same time. I don't think at all that they met him. I think the King James, you might look at it and think that they're both there, but in fact, the King of Sodom was on his way. He was on his way to meet him. But in between the time that the king left to get there, God brings his man on the scene. And this is where we want to see that God is going to prepare his servant for the next battle that's going to take place. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth." Do you know who thought he was the possessor of earth? The king of Sodom. He thought that was his role, and he would put that upon Abram, that was his role. And God sends this Melchizedek. And dear young people, what a picture of the Lord Jesus. Consider how great this man was. You see, to whom Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. So God is preparing at this time when Abram perhaps was subject to failure and to be taken in. God sends Melchizedek at the right time with the right message for his servant. And I think, Tony, is that what you're wanting to bring out more of?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know if somebody had some additional thoughts. Matt? No. Yeah, I do think that, you see, this is the grace of God, because God recognizes that Abram is not sufficient for the battle. He recognizes that Abram is also flesh, and that we can fall prey very easily, as has been mentioned before, after there's been such a high victory. We've seen that in other servants in the scriptures. We recognize that in our own lives. We go home from Grove City. We're on this spiritual high. We've been on the mountaintop. We say, you know, I'm going to read the entire Bible, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. And, you know, it's a short while later. Sometimes not even 24 hours, that the enemy presents himself and gains the victory. But God brings Melchizedek into view. And I believe that these things that Melchizedek brought, the bread and the wine. Now, we know, as we have the privilege of looking back, that these things, they speak to us very keenly of the death of the Lord Jesus. And you know, if there's going to be victory, it is in recognizing not only that Christ died for us, but that we take our place alongside him in death. Because it's only when we reckon ourselves, Romans chapter 6, as dead to the world, that we're going to have strength against the king of Sodom. It's only when we recognize that there is a risen Christ as well. Because it's not only that we see in the loaf and the cup the death of the Lord Jesus, but we also announce his death till he comes, because we recognize that he is the risen Savior. And as the risen priest, we receive, what is it that we have in Hebrews? He comes in and he supports us, because we are not sufficient for the battle. So I believe that this is the reason why God brings Melchizedek first. Without Melchizedek, we're not quite sure what Abram would do. But because he has the right person there and the right perspective, then I believe that he is keenly involved in understanding the value of the souls that have been recovered.
I'd just like to go a little bit more into the two things that are offered here. You know, we have Melchizedek, the type of Jesus, and he brings the bread and wine, the salvation. And Jesus, you know, we hear in the gospel, he gives us peace, he gives us rest, you know, joy, happiness. And so that's something we can have. He actually, you know, gives it to us. And then on the flip side of the coin, we have the king of Sodom. And he says, just give me the people and you can take the property. Well, the property wasn't his. The property was belonged to the people, you know, their donkeys, their cattle. And so Satan really will offer anything. He'll you know, hold the carrot in front of us and try to get us to follow it. He's the great deceiver. And so what we really have in this world is the salvation of Christ. And that's all that we can really rely on. Everything else, you know, can be a trick of Satan to deceive us and to draw us away from the Lord.
Also, Melchizedek means king of righteousness, and Salem means peace. So it's the king of righteousness, the king of peace, brought bread and wine. And bread, in John, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger." So it's that which satisfies our need. And then wine, in Judges chapter 9, speaks of joy. It's that which cheers God and man. So we see that the king of righteousness has satisfied our need, and the king of peace has brought us joy.
I thought it was interesting. I had a similar thought along with Ben's. But I think it's interesting because the king of Sodom said unto Abraham in verse 21, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." And I just love the nerve he has, because the king of Sodom, is Abraham a member of Sodom? Is he a citizen of Sodom? How in the world could the king of Sodom tell a non-citizen of Sodom that is not subject to the king of Sodom, "Well, here, this is what you're going to do"? And I would just like to make an application that, as we've been saying, the king of Sodom is a representative of Satan. Satan is the king of this world, the ruler of this world. But what are we as Christians? We're not members, we're not citizens of this world. We're citizens of heaven. And now, Abraham could have been, could have been allowing himself to be subject to the king of Sodom, but he knew his place. He knew his place, and he chose, "I'm not under you." And then we read pretty much the exact same thing that Melchizedek has said in verse 22 about the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And that's who he was responsible to.
But, Daniel, we need to acknowledge the power of Satan and not just pretend we can blow it off. But as Jesse said, Melchizedek, king of righteousness and king of peace, brought bread and wine. Abraham didn't need anything else. He was filled with the bread and he was full of joy. And if you read in verse 19, I mean, how wonderful this King Melchizedek is. What a wonderful picture of Christ. In his kingly aspect, he says in verse 19, "Blessed be Abram." But in his priestly aspect, "Blessed be the Most High God." He covers everything. And it's such a wonderful thing that it's not necessarily because Abram could say, you know, "Forget you, King of Sodom," but he was filled. He had everything he could ever want in the King Melchizedek. And it's such a wonderful thing that we need to take hold of. You know, the King of righteousness, we know from Malachi that the Lord is the Son of Righteousness. We see that application. We know the Lord, I think, from Isaiah as the Prince of Peace also. So there's the application of Melchizedek towards our Lord and Savior. Now, we need to accept the bread and wine from him, the sustenance, him as the bread of life, as Jesse mentioned, and also as our joy giver. And if we fill ourselves with Christ, there will be no room for the prince and power of this air.